55 or...
Yeah, it's 55. Morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever and wherever you're watching or listening. This is the Osmo NHL DFS Strategy Show, and I'm your host, Michael Clifford, aka Slim Cliffy. Joining me for the next hour to talk about just how great Sam Dikembe Mutombo is, our single entry assassin, Mr. Joshua Harris. Josh, how you doing today, buddy?
I used Mutombo last night, and despite him getting 49 saves, I needed him to win in overtime to cash, and that Shea Theodore goal was actually ridiculous. The hands on Theodore for that goal was just insane. So can't really be too mad about it. He still got me 25.4 DK points with the overtime loss. So LA 2 really let me down. So, but tonight's a new night. It's our first Friday show since the COVID break. So exciting times at Osmo.com.
Yeah, I last night was kind of a weird night. There was a couple spots where a stack and the goalie on the other side might have gotten there. Buffalo and Dallas, obviously one of them. The Robertson-Pavelski-Hintz line went absolutely ballistic last night. Robertson was a late addition to the lineup. You know, he's game time all day. Slid in. They had a big, big night. But Michael Hauser, on the flip side, was pretty close to having a good night. I think he came in with 13.9 DK points or something like that, just shy of 2x for a 7k goalie, which isn't bad considering he let up 5 goals, but that's what happens when you see a ton of shots. And then, of course, as you just mentioned in the late game, one of the late games, Vegas absolutely just piled it onto Montreal, but Dikembe Mutombo, 49 saves on 53 shots, had a big, big night. But again, you know, if you stack something like Carlson, Theodore, and Marchessault or something like that, or Smith or whatever, you probably had a fine night. If you use Mutombo again, that's what shot volume does for a goalie, and it's why we talk about it so much.
Yeah, and he was 6,800 on DraftKings. So, I mean, it was a 9-game slate, so maybe stacking against your goalie is not the ideal. That's not the ideal time to do it, but like, in the old scoring, you'd never even consider stacking against your goalie. It just made no sense. But, you know, with these cheap, like, goalies under 7K on DraftKings, you know, the thought does creep into your mind once in a while that maybe, you know, this team's going to 40 shots and maybe my goalie can still get me 15. And it's really – I've seen a couple winning lineups with guys against their goalie. I don't know if it was on purpose or, like, a upload error or whatever it was, but it has worked before.
Yeah, it has worked. I don't know, like you said, on a 9-game slate, I don't know if I'll ever get to the point where I'm full stacking against my starting goalie. But certainly, you know, a defenseman against your goalie or even a winger against the goalie or something like that can work. And I think the smaller the slate, or the more fine it is to use. Got to give a shout out to Jason Zyman. He had a good night last night, sent me a Discord message. He took down the 153 max last night, if I'm not mistaken, had some caches elsewhere, had a pretty good night. So Jason Zeitler, I believe is his last name. Congrats to you. Hopefully we can have some more winners here today. Not as much as yesterday, but that's what happens when you go a few days without a show. Congrats to Zyman. Thank you very much to Yahoo. They have been our sponsor all season long. Yahoo Fantasy has been very good to us. So let's try to be good to them a little bit later on. If you're a first-time DFS player, we have a special giveaway through Yahoo. We'll talk about a little bit later in the show. This is an interesting slate for me here, Josh. I just want to talk about it real briefly. Obviously, we have to talk about all the games, but when I look at the games, there are a lot of heavy favorites with big goal totals on the road. Generally speaking, home teams score more often and are in a more advantageous spot. But half the teams here, or over half the teams, are favored on the road. So I know you and I don't really like to stack all our players on the road. Sometimes you can't really help it. Is this one of those situations where if you end up stacking two lines on the road, you're just fine with it? Or are you still like really looking for some home value here, even though there are some bad teams at home tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really going out of my way to be like, oh, I got to get this guy at home. And especially because like all these road teams are in really great matchups. There's a couple really good home matchups, but most of these big totals and really good matchups are road and back to back on the roads, and they play tomorrow. And, you know, like, so I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to be like, you know what? My whole lineup has road teams. I need to go out of my way to put in, you know, Callie Yonkrock. I know that's what Saul does, but like, listen, we can't all be as good as Mr. G. No, but really, like, if I end up stacking road teams, it's fine with me tonight. Most of the good matchups are on the road. So,
yeah, exactly. It's not going to bother me as much tonight if I have two road teams, but you know, there are some good spots at home today that we'll talk about. So maybe we will get to some home teams. All right, we got to get this show on the road. Before we get too much further, if you guys could please throw us a thumbs up in the chat, it'll really help us out. Click that subscribe button if you haven't already. We're growing the subscriptions. The road to 420,000 subscribers marches on. Click the bell to get alerts when we do go live, because we have shows all day, every day, covering a ton of sports. Free premium tools and data up on the site. We usually have those every day, today being no exception. We have NBA player projections, we have NHL player projections, and we have our UFC pro plays all up on the site. So whether it's NHL or NBA tonight or UFC this weekend, we have you covered. So check out osmo.com for our NBA player projections, our NHL player projections, and our UFC pro plays. And if I'm not mistaken, Josh, you have a betting column for UFC going up tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And Jeff Vaught's the fourth man that here at osmo.com on the NHL side of things. He has a power plays article up on the site, free to read, up at osmo.com. So lots of free premium tools and data, lots of free shows, lots of free articles, lots of ways to help you guys out in your DFS adventures. All right, let's get to these games. We have an 8-game slate to talk about. Let's get to this first one. The New York Rangers have a 2.5 implied goal total. They're going into Carolina. The Hurricanes have a 3.1 implied goal total. If I'm not mistaken, they said Igor Shesterkin starts tomorrow. So it looks like Alexander Georgiev is starting in Carolina tonight. That's a little bit of a loop because, like you, I think you mentioned, they're playing Arizona tomorrow. So the fact that they're saving Shesterkin for that game and not this one is kind of curious. But regardless, Georgiev in net up against Frederik Andersen. Martin Natchez still in protocols for the Hurricanes. So Nino Niederreiter expected to slide onto that second line for the Hurricanes. On the Rangers side, our buddy Dryden Hunt, haven't seen him on the second line in a few months. He is back with Ryan Strome and Artemi Panarin on the second line. I think the way the line matching is going to work out here is Jordan Staal's line is going to see a fair bit of Mika Zibanejad. And then you'll see the second lines matching up against each other. With no Igor, it kind of changes the way I look at this game. How are you looking at this game, Josh?
Yeah, especially with the way Carolina line matches at home, like Teuvo Teravainen and Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis playing against out against Lafreniere, Hedel, and Goudreau. It's just, you know, they are, to be nice, they are high event both ways. But realistically, that Carolina top line should have its way with Hedel and Lafreniere. So, you know, I really do like Carolina top line, especially now that it's Georgiev. Like, the drop from Shesterkin to Georgiev cannot be understated, despite how well Georgiev has actually played this season. Like, I know I joke around about it, but Igor Shesterkin legitimately might be the best goalie in the NHL right now. Like, not hyperbole. Like, I know,
and
I just...
And I'm saying that as a non-Rangers fan. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a big drop off. The Rangers aren't great 5-on-5. Carolina Hurricanes are a very high event team. That top line is going to get a very high event line. So, you know, you see the ownership percentage right now on Carolina top line, it's 1-2%. I'd imagine once we get a rerun with Georgiev confirmed in, that's going to go up a little bit. But if it stays around 7-8%, even close to 10, something like that, I really do like the Carolina top line. that second line's okay. Like with Hunt, with Stroman, Panarin, that line has actually been pretty good defensively. Granted, like that line is also not great 5-on-5. So, you know, that second line should be able to create and, you know, do their thing. But really, this is a Carolina one game for me. And then if on the Rangers side, like I know it's a 2.5 total on the road, but their prices are so cheap and Carolina takes a ton of penalties. And the Rangers do their best work on the power play anyway. The only reason they're like in contention for the President's Cup trophy right now is because of Igor and because of their power play. So you couple that with the Carolina Hurricanes taking was something like the fourth most penalties in the league right now. And you look at the Rangers pricing, like Mika's down to 6,300, Kreider's 5,600, Panarin's still 5,700, Strom's like 4K, Fox is under 6K. This is definitely a spot where you can power play stack the Rangers here at lower ownership. That top line is getting some ownership around 8-9%, but that second line right now is around 5%. So I think power play stacking the Rangers here is an interesting way to get a little bit different considering how many penalties the Hurricanes actually take. But for me, Carolina 1 is my favorite spot in this game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be off the Rangers here. I understand what you're saying about the penalty, about the all the penalties Carolina takes, and you're right, like, they've been consistently amongst the five most penalized teams all season long. It doesn't matter, you know, what month segment you look at. The problem is that their penalty kill is just absolutely absurd. Like one of the best penalty kills we've seen in hockey, like in the last few years, like they limit the shots lower than some 5-on-5 lines. And that's where I think it's an interesting conversation. Cause like you said, the Rangers power play generates a ton. And they have all season long. So it's kind of like, you know, unstoppable force versus immovable objects. So, you know, maybe they could get there with four or five opportunities. I just think personally in my 20s, I'm 20 maxing tonight. I think I'm not going to have too much Rangers. I'm actually on the Carolina second line here. Nino and Vincent Trocheck have not a huge sample, but a decent sample together. And they're rolling a 60% shot share and 59% of the scoring chances. Now, that's without Nino Niederreiter, or that's without Andre Svechnikov, sorry. And I can't imagine he's going to hurt that line much. So I think you're in on Carolina 1. I get that. I'm going to be in on Carolina 2 just because I want to get a little bit of that power, you know, of that power play exposure. You do get, there's two guys on each line, but they are just a little bit cheaper. A little bit lower ownership as well. So Carolina 2 for me. On the blue line, nobody really sticking out. I think the prices are just about fine on either side. I mean, Jacob Trouba 4,500 definitely sticks out. Anything other than that?
Yeah, Trouba's fine. I even think Fox is fine. Like, I don't want a one-off Fox at 8,100, but at 5,600, I think, you know, yeah, you can. And then the Carolina prices are a little bit too expensive for me. Like maybe Slavin at 4,600, you know, Brady Shea 4,400 is too expensive. Pesci 4,000. So I think it's like Shea or just correlating Tony D.
Yep. I agree with that. All right, let's move this along. Pittsburgh 3.5 implied goal total. They're going to Columbus. The Jackets have a 2.6 implied goal total. Pittsburgh coming off a weird game last night. They're up 6-0 or 6-1 against the Sens, and then Ottawa, or 5-0 or 5-1, and then Ottawa came back and just roared back in the third period to make it 5-4. Penguins eventually won, but man, that Pittsburgh goaltending has really looked shaky almost all season long, and Tristan Jarry is supposed to be their good goalie. And now Casey DeSmith in net tonight for the Penguins. Like, obviously there's a lot to like up and down the Penguins roster, but I know we talk about playing third line sometimes in high totals, but you and I were talking about Evan Rodriguez in our Discord earlier, like 12 and a half minutes since Evgeny Malkin returned. Like, I don't know what to do here with Pittsburgh with such a high total other than just play their top line. So what do you think of this game, Josh?
Yeah. So at first I was like, man, we're just jamming Pitt one again. Let's go back to the well. And I think that's a fine play. But they're coming in 11, 12%. You still can do it. Like, they're the most expensive line of the night. Them and Dallas won at the same price. They're going to get the Jenner, Bjorkstrand, Nyquist matchup. And they've been okay defensively. Not, you know, world beaters. 2.36 expected goals against per 60, which is about league average. They give up 11 high danger chances against, which has been okay. But you start going down to that line A line, right? Texier, line A, Voracek. They're so high event. They're so bad defensively, and they're going to get that Malkin matchup. and you see Malcolm coming in at 3-4% projected right now. You know, maybe it's because his line mates aren't great on paper. Like, I like Danton Heinen and Kasperi Kapanen. The problem is they're not, you know, fully correlated on the power play. The thing is, like, Columbus doesn't take too many penalties. Another problem, though, is it's Korpisalo, not Merzlikin. So you really do kind of want some top power play time. But the thing is, like, getting that line A matchup and getting so much lower ownership in that high total is intriguing to me. And I really don't mind going to pit two here tonight. I want to go to pit one. Obviously, going back to pit one is perfectly fine tonight. Like, yeah, I'm definitely considering them in 1-3 again. I used them last night. I'm definitely going to consider using them tonight. But, you know, getting off that, you know, 12% ownership, getting, you know, more than half, you know, less in ownership, you know, 4-5% if it comes up to 6-7, I think that's still fine, you know, for pit two, getting that line A matchup. I think, you know, Malkin can take advantage of that there. And then on the Columbus side, I'm having a bit of a tough time getting to some Columbus here. I don't mind like a Domi Roslovic min price two man if you're trying to like really get in some expensive stuff. But other than that, like, I'm not sure I'm going to have too much Columbus. Like, if you want to have Jenner Bjorkstrand and MME, like, the thing is they're going to get that Crosby matchup and they're coming in around 9%. So, like, it's just kind of taking me off them. The total's low. I'd rather look elsewhere.
Yeah. The only thing that really drives me to Columbus, and I hate doing this because I don't like changing my approach based on who's in net, but I really don't think much of Casey DeSmith as all as a goaltender. If you look at his high danger save percentage over the last 3 years, I believe it's in the bottom third of the NHL. Like, I think at best, he's a bad starter. And, you know, if you have a bad starter with a team that's back-to-back on the road, I do like Columbus's chances of actually doing something. But like you said, they're really coming in with some ownership here. So I think I'd be more tempted on the Columbus side to play some one-offs. One-off Bjorkstrand, one-off Werenski, one-off. I mean, Andrew Peak. We'll get to defensemen. That guy played like 26 minutes last night. So I think Columbus is like, I definitely have interest in Columbus. I don't know if I have interest in stacking Columbus lines. So like I said, one off Bjorkstrand, one off Werenski, one off Peak. I think all those things are fine. On the Pittsburgh side, I'm probably just going to do what you said, and that's just go to Pittsburgh too. I think the matchup is just fantastic. And I'm going to echo the same sentiments. Pittsburgh 1 or Pittsburgh 2, I think they're both completely playable. It's just where I'm looking to use Pittsburgh more as a filler than what I'm building around. That's how I'm approaching this slate. It's definitely Pittsburgh 2 for me. I know Malkin and Kapanen, like 45% shot share, 45% of the scoring chances together. That's not super great. But like you said, they're going into a pretty soft matchup. And I think Danton Heinen is the kind of winger. He's like, he's a good two-way winger that can kind of stabilize a line. It allows them to do what they want to do when they're on the ice. So I agree with you on Pittsburgh too. On the blue line, like I said, Andrew Peak might be one of my favorite defensemen on this whole slate. He's just playing too many minutes. Definitely in a threat for the DK block bonus. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I agree with Peak there. Letang like has been an absolute monster recently. Like last night he had an assist, but he also had 9 block shots and played like 24 minutes. I think if you're doing anything pit one related, you need to put him in. I think he is fine as one off. Mike Matheson had 2 goals last night. I mean, he's still 3K. I wouldn't count on that nightly, but Letang definitely in play for me as a one off 5 the salary or correlated with Pittsburgh, and definitely Andrew Peak. Like these min price Columbus defenders, you know, Gavrikov goes down, Peak steps in and plays the big minutes. So yeah, Andrew Peak, definitely a good way to save some salary tonight.
Yeah. I do like Peak here in this game, but we do have to keep moving it along. Get access to all the great Osmo Plus tools and content for nearly every DFS sport out there with an Osmo Plus weekly pass for $29.95. This includes full access to all the premium content and tools on Osmo.com, including player projections, ownership projections, our top stacks, our lineup builder, and a whole lot more. Of course, if you're only looking to play NHL DFS, then you can sign up for one of our Osmo Plus NHL packages for as low as $3.95 a week. Stop guessing, start winning. Join Osmo Plus today. In our chat earlier, somebody was bringing up how FanDuel lines can really the prices can really differentiate from what they are on DraftKings. And I was actually just looking at some of the Columbus lines. Columbus 1 and 2, like $1,000 gap. That's not huge, but it's fairly significant over on DraftKings. On FanDuel, they're coming in at virtually the same price. And I found that a little bit weird. And they're both coming in over-owned. So I think on FanDuel, I'd probably lean towards the Bjorkstrand Jenner line. Like if you're going to give me the top line at the same price as the second line with, you know, the same leverage, I'll just take the top line. So where Pittsburgh's coming in, you know, at the same price relative to the rest of the slate, I think everything we in that game stands. But I do like Columbus 1 a little bit more over on FanDuel. All right, let's get to this next game. Dallas going into Detroit. Dallas has a 2.8 implied goal total. Detroit sitting with a 2.6 implied goal total. Dallas, as we mentioned earlier, just played last night. They came back and beat Buffalo. What was it? Actually, a pretty good game. Detroit on the other side, Vladislav Namestnikov staying on the top line with Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond and Tyler Bertuzzi down on the second line with Pia Suter and Robbie Fabry. Vegas seems to think this game is going to be fairly close, but only a 5.5 total. What do you think, Josh?
I like this game. I mean, like, of course, here we are on a 5.5 on these massive total slates, and this is the game that I like. Like, Namestnikov on that top line, Larkin without Bertuzzi. Like, if you're into wowies on Natural Stat Trick, go look up Larkin's wowies with and without Bertuzzi. It's a big difference. And if they're going to get that Rope, Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson line, or if it's like Ernie Rasmussen, Zadina, however Blashill wants to, you know, screw that up, you know, I think this is a great spot for Dallas 1. And on top of that, they're coming in at 2%. I think they're coming in so low is because there aren't many cheap goalies that you can trust. And Ned is 7,300 tonight. And I think people are just gravitating towards like, oh, wow, I know this guy and he's cheap and at home. So we're going to play him. But that makes Dallas 1 a really, really good GPP play tonight because whether it's Larkin or whether it's Rasmussen, it's just advantage Dallas 1 here. And you're going to get them at low ownership. So I really like Dallas 1. And I also really like Detroit 2, Bertuzzi, Suter, Fabry, because they're going to get the Ben Sagan, Gurion offline. And I know they had a good game last night, but it was against the Sabres. Like the Sabres depth. I guess all of the Sabres lines are depth. But it is like it's like if anything, they can hang there, and I really like Pia Suter. I've been a Pia Suter guy since, you know, the Hawks screwed that up and let him go. Bertuzzi is a good player. Fabry, much better suited in on the second line wing than he is first line center. So, you know, they're pretty cheap too. They're coming in around 6%. They're going to get that Sagan Bangerion off matchup. I think that is a very advantageous matchup for the Suter line. So I do really like Detroit too. And Dallas 1 from this game.
Yeah, Detroit 2 is kind of where I want to focus because you brought up the Bertuzzi-Larkin thing. And this, like, this is a big deal. When Larkin and Bertuzzi are skating together, they're generating 31 to 32 scoring chances per 60 minutes. When Larkin is skating without him, it's about 24 scoring chances per 60 minutes. It goes down by that's 25% fewer scoring chances being generated. That is a massive, massive gap. And you're going from 53% scoring chance share to 46%. Like, it is stark the difference that it is that Bertuzzi makes for that top line with Dylan Larkin. So, like, yeah, I know that Detroit might be fine with Namestnikov on the top line. He can be fine as a two-way winger, but I don't think they're going to generate any offense, like, or at least not enough to justify their prices. So I'm out on Detroit 1. People want to play them, go right ahead. I noticed they have some good leverage by our top stacks tool. But I'm, like you said, I'm going to go back to Detroit 2. Bertuzzi and Fabry without Dylan Larkin are like a 60% line together. Like, that's what we're talking about with Tyler Bertuzzi. Is he's a high impact player. He's a high impact winger for that team. He's the most important winger they have. So I do like that Detroit second line going into Dallas 2. Dallas 2 just doesn't have good numbers. I know Tyler Seguin has had some big games lately, but a lot of that has been on the power play. Their 5-on-5 line is still skating around 45% shot share. So Dallas 2 for me, or Detroit 2, sorry, for me. On the flip side, Dallas 1, absolutely right back in play. One of our better leverage spots on the entire slate. even if they come in a little bit higher owned than 2 to 3%, even if they're double that, like 6%, they're still completely fine to play coming in with good leverage. So Dallas 1, Detroit 2 on the blue line. I think Moritz Cedar is priced way too high for what he can bring. Two, Dallas has a pretty good penalty kill. So like that kind of cuts into his value as it is. So like, I'm not sure if there's any Detroit defenseman I want. On the Dallas side, at least Haskinen's price has come down and it's reasonable at 6,200. I'm probably not playing him, but at least it's reasonable. Anybody stick out to you?
Not really. I don't know if you heard when you were talking about Detroit too. King Bacon Pie was barking like a madman. So first was dog he? Barking wow. play in a while.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's KBP's first dog park. So King Bacon leading us to Detroit too.
Yeah. On the blue line, there's just not much on either side that I want to play. Maybe Esa Lindell, but 4,400, I think I'd rather find someone cheaper.
All right. Let's move it along to the next game. Arizona, 2.1 implied goal total. Going into New York, the Islanders have a 3.3 implied goal total. Jacob Chychrun returned to the lineup in the last game for Arizona, but he's on power play 2 and he only played 20 minutes. So I know like we might be wanting to slam some Chychrun back into the lineup, but I think 5,800 might be a steep price for that. Our Discord was talking about playing some Arizona today. Josh, what do you think about playing some Arizona today?
Here we are. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Arizona, like people just love playing Arizona. And I mean, granted, they've been better lately. Like Johan Larsson has been unstoppable recently for whatever reason. And I guess like, okay, I don't mind the Johan Larsson Kraus Kessel line just because Islanders are going to send out JG Pajot Wallstrom Bellows against them, probably because they like to send out Barzal Lee against, you know, bottom six matchups. And JGP and Wallstrom have just been awful this year defensively, like very high event, almost 3 goals against per 60, you know, 12 high danger chances. That's with Bellows there. It's like a 35 minute sample, but Bellows isn't anything special. So like, I get it if you want to have like a filler of Kraus, Larsson, Kessel, but like, I don't know if I'm going to get there. Like, I just, it feels just awful clicking in Johan Larsson. Like, I know he's been good recently, but like, I think, you know, you don't have to full stack if you want to one off a Phil Kessel here, pair him with, you know, Clayton Keller or something like that. I think that's fine. I don't think you have to full stack. You're going to do a Larsson Keller ghost 3-man, but really like not huge on the Yotes tonight. It is a decent matchup for that top line. Like the Islanders are not the good defensive team they were a few years ago. They've been pretty brutal. But on the flip side, like in theory, I like the Islanders. It's just hard to trust them. They've just been so bad that it's just hard to be like, yeah, let's play. I'm super excited about playing, you know, double digits Barzal Lee tonight against the Coyotes depth. And then, you know, Lee has a goose egg and Barzal has a shot on goal and Parisi's anchored to that line. You want to go to Bevilier, Nelson, Bailey. I guess that makes some more sense. But, like, they haven't been good this season either. So as much as I want to get behind the Islanders in a high total at home, I'm just having a trouble getting there in 1-3. In 20 max, I think you can have some. Like, honestly, like, I don't want to play anything from this game. But if I had to choose, it'd be Islanders 2 and maybe some Larsson Kessel.
Yeah, on the Islanders side for me, it's the Islanders top line. Like I want to take advantage. I mean, the Arizona penalty kill has gotten better through the year, but it's still not super great. And they are taking a reasonable amount of penalties. So I don't mind playing a little bit of like Barzal, Lee, Dobson, something like that. Like I want to get some power play one guys. Like if I'm playing the Islanders tonight, it's getting power play one guys in. That's what I'm doing. You want to take advantage of a weaker Arizona penalty kill. So like a Lee, Barzal, Dobson. Honestly, I know Pajot and Wallstrom have been bad, but like Oliver Wallstrom's a pretty good power play player. Like he reminds me of Joel Farabee over in Philadelphia. So like, even like a Pajot Wallstrom 2-man, I think can get there against, you know, Arizona's better, but they're still, like, I think at best a middle of the road team. It's not like they're, you know, it's not, this isn't the St. Louis Blues from 3 years ago or something like that, right? So I think it's Lee and Barzal. They've been very good since their COVID break. I think like a 57% shot share line or something like that. So Lee Barzal for me, I'll probably come in right on the field with them, like 10%, yeah, 10 to 15%, something like that. I'm not going to go crazy. On the Arizona side, like you said, once you get past that Islanders top line, there really isn't a lot to worry about for matchups. So I kind of get the Arizona love here. Like Kessel, Larson, and Krause have been good together, but it's Keller, Boyd, and Schmaltz that's kind of drawing me here. Keller and Schmaltz have typically had good numbers together in their careers. Keller has been shooting way, way more over the last month or so. So that's where I am in this game, is like Keller, Boyd, Schmaltz is what I like best from the Yotes side. But on the Islanders side, it's attacking the power play. Lee Barzal or Pajot Wahlstrom. On the blue line, like I said, I don't think you can play Jacob Chychrun at his price, power play two. I think Adam Pellick, like, I think is just fine for the Islanders. There's really not a lot I like for defensemen in this game. What do you think?
Not really. I mean, like, Anton Stroman's back at min price, and he had an assist the other game. But, like, I'd much rather play Andrew Peak at min price than Anton Stroman. Pellick is fine. I'd rather just correlate with Dobson. And if you're going to play either the Yotes line, I think Ghost at 4,800 makes some sense as well.
All right. See a super chat from Sammy Telesco. Sammy, thank you very much for the super chat, a $5 super chat. I really appreciate that. He says, thank you guys for your knowledge. Finally hit first place for $500 in the hip check on DK last night. Attaboy, Sammy. We love to see that. Those are the contests that help build your bankroll so you can get higher and higher. Awesome job taking down that 500 last night. Hopefully you can take down another one here tonight. We have partnered with Yahoo Fantasy this NHL season to bring you some great offers. Check out our exclusive limited time offer, which gets you one free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. To qualify, you need to be new to Yahoo, sign up for an account via the link below, deposit and play. That's it. Yahoo will send us your name after you've played in your first paid contest, and we will reach out via email with your coupon. If you'd like to speed up the process of getting access, email support@osmo.com and we'll get you set up right away. Can also claim a free $10 of site credit by clicking the link in the video description below, and that can be used to enter any Yahoo contest, including tonight's NHL $2,000 Friday Night Baller and the NFL $250,000 Saturday Baller, featuring no management fees. Make sure to use our DFS tools and projections designed specifically for Yahoo to give yourself the best shot at winning big. Shout out to Jake and shout out to the Osmo team who threw up the Yahoo projections there like 10 days ago or something like that. A big, big help to anybody looking to get their feet wet in DFS can do so with fewer sharks in the water, let's say, over at Yahoo. All right, four games left. Let's get through these games. Minnesota, 3.1 implied goal total. They're going into Chicago. The Chicago Blackhawks have a 2.5 implied goal total. Ryan Hartman traveled with the team, was sick. They said it's not COVID. Expected to play. Obviously, you know, something could happen at the last minute. Maybe he starts to feel worse. But right now, he is expected to line up on the top line for Minnesota with Kaprizov and Zuccarello. Kirby Dach back for Chicago off the COVID list. He's going to be on the third line with Entwistle and Kurashev. And that line had often been used as a shutdown line earlier in the season. Now, obviously, things have been thrown into disarray over the last month or so with COVID and postponements and what have you. But that had been used often as a shutdown line. On the Minnesota side, Joel Eriksson Ek back. He's on the second line in, you know, back in his role in what looks like a shutdown line, but obviously they're on the road. I see some chatter about people liking Chicago here tonight. And given all the injuries to the Minnesota blue line, I kind of get it. What do you think about this game, Josh?
Yeah, I do kind of get it as well. I'm just trying to figure out the matchups in my head here, because if they're going to send out the Dach line against Hartman, which is just absolutely bananas, like, unless you're sending out the fourth line consistently against Joel Eriksson Ek. Like, one of these top two lines is going to see some Joel Eriksson Ek.
Yeah, I think I like my feeling personally is that they saved the Kane Strome line for the easiest possible matchups, and you'll see the Doc and Taves line basically take the top six matchups. I think that's what you're going to see.
Yeah, so I looked up the Doc Khrushchev Entwistle season sample. They have
34, how was it?
They have 34 minutes together. They have not generated a high danger scoring chance. They have an expected goals for per 60 of 0.5, and they have a 32% Corsi 4 percentage, shot share percentage. And they're going to get one of the best lines in hockey in Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello. I don't even have chips in front of me, but I'm, you know, I'm all in. You know, there is some news on Hartman. Like, you got to pay attention to that. The Wild total seems low at 3.1, which maybe is keeping, you know, the projected ownership down. I think they're going to be higher owned than 7%. I would imagine they're going to come in 12 to 15. But I still really like them, assuming Hartman plays. Even if it is like the DeBrincat, Taze, Kubalik line, they're still pretty high event. It doesn't make sense that they would send out DeBrincat, Kubalik against that line, though. So I do really like Min Won. You want to go to that checking line? I think I'll save that for another time. I want to see the power play units first, maybe. I want to see Joel Eriksson Ek maybe get his power play one spot back. I just, you know, there's just unknowns. They haven't announced anything yet. You want to go to that third line? I think that's fine. Boldy, Fiala, Gaudreau. They may see, you know, a fair bit of Chicago 4, actually. You know, so Boldy's min price. He's looked good. He's with Fiala. Frederick Gaudreau won't hurt anybody. So if they're going to get a decent amount of that fourth line, I think that's fine. I think, you know, Strome, Kane, Hagel, like you said, is probably going to see a fair bit of that Nico Strome line or maybe some of the Gaudreau line. But either way, like, there isn't much of a matchup concern against the Hawks. So I think, you know, the Wild top line definitely in play. That Wild third line, the Fiala line, definitely in play as a filler. And then I guess, you know, I do get it. If you want to go to the Hagel, Strome, Kane line, they're fully correlated. Minnesota's missing a bunch of defensemen. They're missing Cam Talbot. Kaapo Kähkönen has, you know, he's not great. So I do get going to that Chicago top line tonight. I don't think I'm going to do in 1-3, but an MME getting some of a correlated line in a good matchup definitely makes some sense.
Here's the thing with Chicago is that Minnesota's penalty kill is bad. It has been for like for a while now. And when you have a penalty kill that's like, I don't know, bottom 10 in the league, that's basically just only being saved by really good goaltending, it really draws me, it draws me to a line that's perfectly correlated. Like you said, Chicago 1 is a perfectly correlated line. And if the matching works out like it should, I think it will, they're going to see the third and fourth lines. And like, you're going to see the third and fourth lines, plus that Minnesota depth, that Minnesota defense is completely depleted. Like, they're dressing three defensemen that aren't regular NHLers for them. So I think that's one reason why you're seeing a lower total on Minnesota than normal. And I think that's why you're seeing a higher total than you probably would expect on Chicago. That's why I like that Chicago top line. This is the power play spot that I'm looking at on the slate, or one of them, one of the three power play spots that I'm really looking at. It's the Chicago top line. So in my 20 max, I am absolutely going to be using Kane, Strome, and Hagel as a filler. Don't forget, with Seth Jones back, he's going to be running the top power play unit. So like, you know, you can throw in like a Kane, Jones, and Strome, and it's not really an expensive stack. It's like 18K or something like that. It's not backbreaking. So Chicago 1, Minnesota 1 is my favorite line in this whole game, though. Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello, you talked about how good they've been all season. They really have been, and they're coming in with good leverage by our top stacks tool, one of the top lines by leverage. So in on Minnesota 1, in on Chicago 1. On the blue line with Seth Jones back, that really takes a lot of defensemen that we had been playing out of the mix for Chicago. On the Minnesota side, I mean, Kalen Addison, min price, probably running PP1, absolutely stands out. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm not. Is this Alex Goligoski's first game back from his absence, though? I worry that he may take some power play time away from Kalen Addison. But at min price, you can take that gamble. Other than Seth Jones, there really isn't much on the Hawks side that I want to, you know, put into my lineup.
Yeah. Goligoski did play 4 days ago. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'd still like Addison regardless, yeah, like you said. All right, Florida going into Vancouver. Florida has a 3.8 implied goal total. Vancouver has a 2.8 implied goal total. Florida is on a back-to-back. They just absolutely wiped the floor with the Edmonton Oilers last night. That was just embarrassing. Florida looks like it's going to be Spencer Knight tonight because they started Sergei Bobrovsky last night. Vancouver doesn't have either of their goalies. Thatcher Demko is out. Yaroslav Halak is also out. So they're going to the AHL for their goalies. I think that might be a reason why you see a 3.8 total for Florida here, despite being back-to-back on the road. I think there's a lot to like, even on both sides. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, so Spencer Martin is going to be starting for the Canucks tonight. He hasn't played in the NHL in 5 years. Welcome back, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, you get the top offense in hockey. Yeah. Good luck.
Hello. Newman. Anyway, Bruce Boudreau, when they're on the road trip, was like, oh yeah, I really want to get this Matthew Highmore, Juho Lomiko, Tyler Motte line out against top competition. Okay, so they're going to be getting Florida one tonight, which is one of the best lines in hockey, going against Tyler Motte. Like, their numbers haven't been awful considering they're the Canucks, but like, They're underwater in terms of shot share. So in theory, the Panthers top line should be running this line over. And, you know, they're reasonably priced. Like, Reinhardt's 5,100, Carter Verhaeghe's 4,500, Barkov 7,500. Like, they're not going to break the bank if you full stack them. I think that the second line's more expensive, honestly. So I really like Florida one again tonight. They're going to get a really, really good matchup. That second line, I'm not really sure how Vancouver is going to match up after that first one, because they haven't been home since December, I think, right?
Yeah, December 14th was their last home game, yeah. I think.
Not that the matchups really matter, but for me, this is a four-to-one game. And then you go over to the Canucks side and you see Höglander, Pettersson, Besser coming in at like 25, 26%. That's high because, like, their other guys are out. Throughout the day, those updates, it's going to depress the ownership a little bit. But it is Spencer Knight, and I'm sure, you know, DFSers have that Ottawa game where he gave up 7 goals in the back of their mind. So I think, you know, in theory, going to Höglander, Pettersson, Besser is fine. I just worry about their ownership here. The Panthers are back-to-back on the road, so if you are going to use that top line, you know, like I always say, just be aware of how you build, who you're putting them with, et cetera, et cetera. But on paper, I do like them. So both top lines for me tonight, but Florida one. Florida power, you can also Florida power play stack tonight as well. So I think, you know, Florida one, my favorite line in the game.
Yeah, I had interest in that Vancouver top line. I don't have interest in them at 24%. I don't have interest in them at 20%. I probably don't even have interest in them at 15%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that ownership would have to come down a lot for them to really get in playable range for me. And the fact of the matter is that Bo Horvat and JT Miller are this team's two best centers. I know Elias Pettersson seems like he's kind of turned it around the last few games. I'm going to need to see more than that to kind of wipe away the last two seasons of bad that he's been. Yep. So I'm not sure Vancouver has any matchup that can slow down Florida here tonight. So it's just a matter of which line you want to use. I'm going to use Florida one. I agree with you. If they're going to get that Tyler Motte matchup or whatever it is, like, they're just going to, I mean, it's hockey, so anything can happen, but I imagine they just absolutely carved through that line. So Reinhardt, Barkov, or Hagee going right back to the top line. They've been very, very good this year. The Vancouver penalty kill has been very, very bad. So I have no problem going with Florida 1. Florida 2, if people want to play them, they're coming in with a little bit better leverage because they're more expensive. That's fine as well. On the blue line, it seems like the Florida D prices just really aren't moving a lot. And with Forsling out, I think, like, we can go back to good ass, but – I kind of like Uyghur at 5,200. He's a peripherals guy, can score, can kind of do it all. I like Uyghur. Who you got?
I like Uyghur as well. You want to use Ekblad, that's fine. I like Goodass. I also like Montour up on that second pair with Forsling out. I think he can do some damage. And then on the Vancouver side, there just isn't much. If you're playing Van One, you want to throw in Quinn Hughes, that's fine. But other than that, like, there's just nothing that I want to play.
Like, I get Tyler Myers will probably get the block bonus here tonight, but even the block bonus for 4,100 with a couple of shots, it's still not that great in a GPP. I think it's too expensive at 4,100. All right, let's get this train rolling. We have an Osmo Hall of Fame here at Osmo.com where we like to celebrate our winners. We talked about ones earlier in the show. We talked about a bunch yesterday in the show, and we're going to talk about a bunch more here shortly. But if you want to get into the Osmo Hall of Fame, this is how you do it. Download the Osmo profile pick from osmo.com/avatar. You tweet your wins to Osmo, H-O-F, that's the Osmo Hoff account, and you can win a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum when you do all this. And you're going to see us screenshots popping up. You'll see second place for 25K in NFL. You'll see NFL Showdown, third place from Lock Breyer, took down 10K. Second place in the NBA Minimax for $600 from Hoops Data. Like, again, you don't have to win $70,000 or something like that to get into the Osmo Hall of Fame. Finish second in an NBA 150 Minimax, and you can get it into the Osmo Hall of Fame for sure. Just make sure you have the Osmo avatar as your profile pick, and make sure that you tweet those wins to the Osmo Hoff account on Twitter. All right, a couple more games to get through before we get to them. If you guys could in chat, please throw us a thumbs up. The like button really helps us. The subscribe button helps even more. Click that bell to get alerts when we do go live. And thank you again to Yahoo Fantasy for being our sponsor. They've been very good to us. Be sure to check out the giveaway for first-time Yahoo users in the link in the description below this video. All right, let's get to these first of the last two games. Tampa Bay going into Anaheim. The Bolts have a 3.5 implied goal total. Anaheim has a 2.4 implied goal total. Now, assuming I didn't miss any news since we started the show, Zegras, Getzlaf, Raquel should be the top line for Anaheim. That's effectively stacking their top line. And they're going to be kept away from Tampa Bay's top line. This isn't a line that's being put together as a shutdown line. So it's kind of interesting to me. But what do you see in this game, Josh?
Yeah, so I'll start with the Ducks. The Zegras, Getzlaf, Raquel, probably going to get, you know, that third line of Tampa. Now Tampa actually has six defenders tonight. The problem is, like, it's Daniel Walcott and Andre Schuster on third pair. So they're probably going to play, you know, 10, 11 minutes. You're just there to give the top four some breathing room. I would imagine Hedman pushes 30 again tonight. You'll see McDonough, Sergachev over 20 easily. So anyway, getting back to that Ducks top line. They're coming in, you know, pretty heavily owned, but I think I'd rather play them than the Vancouver top line. So as a filler, I think I'd rather play Ducks one over Vancouver one. I'm not super thrilled about their ownership either in 1-3. I think I can fit some other lines that I like. Tampa top line is my favorite spot in this game. They're going to get, you know, for whatever reason, the Ducks end out Grant, Lundstrom, Silfverberg against top comp, and they've just been awful defensively, very high event. You want to leave off Corey Perry and add in Victor Hedman, and gets more expensive, but, you know, Point Kucherov in an elite matchup, they're pretty high owned tonight, projected-wise, but this is a great, great matchup. The only thing that scares me a little bit is John Gibson, but, like, the Ducks are so beat up, like, Gibson would have to have an unreal game, which he's capable of, but I really do like Tampa 1. You want to go to Tampa 2, that's fine, but around the same ownership, I'd much prefer to go to Tampa 1.
One thing that kind of worries me about Anaheim is they don't really take a lot of penalties. Like, we're looking at like 2 to 3 per game, which is well below average. And Tampa, not that they need the power play to come through. Obviously, they can blow the doors off anybody at even strength, but it is a big part of their value. And that's the one thing that's worrying me about Tampa here is that it is a great 5-on-5 matchup, like a phenomenal 5-on-5 matchup. I just don't know if it's a great power play matchup. And when you have a line coming in at like 15%, you know, $18,000 on DraftKings. If you look over on FanDuel, you know, it's a $23,000 line that's coming in at 15% ownership. Like over on FanDuel, it's a huge, huge question to ask because they are so expensive. So like on DraftKings, at least they'll be in my consideration, but I might outright fade them in my 20 max just because I don't want a 15% to 20% line on the road that costs 18K if they're not in a really great matchup. And at, like, again, at 5-on-5, it's a great matchup. On the power play, I'm not so sure. So I'll say Tampa 1 is still in consideration for me, but they're not a super high priority for me right now. I guess we'll see once I actually make my lineups on the Anaheim side. Like, I want to get behind that top line. I just can't do it. They're coming in over-owned, which I can't believe. Like, do people realize they're playing Tampa Bay? Like, you don't want to over-own any line against Tampa Bay, I don't think. So I'm out on Anaheim. On the blue line, nothing really sticking out. Nothing sticks out like a sore thumb, let's say, on either side. You mentioned, like, guys like Sergachev and Shattenkirk should approach, you know, 22, 23 minutes or something like that. Anybody else?
Sergachev or McDonough, like, you want to go back to McDonough after he burned you, that's fine. I prefer Mikhail Sergachev. He's going to play big minutes. Nothing really sticks out on the Ducks side.
All right. Coming up after us, you have the NFL Tournament Strategy Show with Greg and Neil, and they're followed by the Prize Picks Live NFL show with Eitan and Emax. So lots of NFL coverage coming up right after us. And then at 4:45 Eastern, you have your NBA double dose, starting with the deeper dive with Laffy and Adam. All right. Final game, St. Louis, 3.2 implied goal total going into Seattle. The Seattle Kraken have a 2.4 implied goal total. I'm going to be honest, man. There's one line from the Blues that I like, and I don't even really like that line. And it's the Tarasenko, Buchnevich, Barbashev line. The reason being that Buchnevich and Tarasenko have generally played very well together this year, just not well with Barbashev. And I got to imagine, you know, they can drag him along somewhat. And Seattle's defensive numbers have really fallen off the map. And they've been taking a lot more penalties of late too. So I definitely want to get some power play guys like Buchnevich and Tarasenko in there. So that's where I'm looking, is on the second line, Tarasenko, Buchnevich, Barbashev. What do you got, Josh?
I'm completely fine with the Blues tonight. But, like, the thing is, they're so expensive. And that's just an issue. There's the pricing puts me off them because there's other lines that I like better in that price range. So in GPP, especially in MME, they're going to come in super low owned. So I think, you know, playing some Blues definitely makes some sense in MME. Like, you're going to have some really, really good leverage on them. So I think that's good. In 1-3, I'm going to look elsewhere. And then, you know, it is Joey Decord in net, so, like, that's another plus for the Blues. On the Seattle side, if you want to play some Seattle 1, McCann, Gord, Eberle, that's fine. They'll probably get Saad, Thomas, Kyrou, which, you know, for third lines, it's probably one of the better third lines you're going to match up with. So not really super thrilled about Seattle, but Blues definitely makes some sense from a MME standpoint just because they have super low ownership.
Yeah. St. Louis has a very good penalty kill, too. That's something to worry yourself about if you're stacking that Seattle top line. But for me, again, in that game, it is St. Louis 2 more than anything else. All right, we got to get out of here. Josh, I'm going to ask you for your hat trick picks and your goalies. My hat trick pick, calling it flu game, Ryan Hartman. In net, Alex Nedeljkovic and Marc-Andre Fleury. Who you got?
I'm going Sammy Reinhart and... man, goalies are just a mess. Sorokin and Nedeljkovic.
Yep, Sorokin and Nedeljkovic. I like that as well. All right, we got to get out of here. Your NFL coverage is coming up here shortly. We will be back tomorrow afternoon with an NHL show, though. So for producer Mike, for Josh, I'm saying good luck tonight, everybody, and we'll see.